Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
ESPN just paid a whole lot of bread to make sure that they are the exclusive network of the college football playoffs moving forward. Amber and Ian is presented by Progressive Insurance. See why over 28 million drivers trust Progressive to stay protected on the road. See for yourself at progressive.com. Amber Wilson, Ian Fitzsimmons. You find him at Ian Fitz ESPN. You find me at Amber W Sports. So we got the news that our network here, Ian, they paid $7.8 billion to ensure that ESPN will remain the sole media rights holder of the college football playoffs through the 2031-2032 season. That's a lot of macaroos. I'm going to keep that in mind next time I negotiate my contract, okay? Because, I mean, 7.8 billy, apparently we've got it like that, Ian.
Look, it's worth every penny, to be honest with you. I mean, because it's not just the games, it's the releases as far as every Tuesday, as far as the rankings go, it's every platform you can imagine, radio, digital, the multiverse, you name it, we have it. And that's also the power of college football. I mean, think about it. Right now, the college football playoff is bigger, more popular, more powerful than the NCAA could ever dream. I mean, the college football playoff has become an entity unto its own, where they could just squash the NCAA like an ant, just like a cockroach that's crawling across your kitchen floor.
It feels like they have.
Oh, but
I mean, I know in large part lawsuits and court rulings have done that, and the NCAA sitting on their hands. But it feels like the college football playoff is now
it's the NCAA
squarely squashing the NCAA in terms of power.
And Amber, a lot of people think that the NCAA is part of the college football playoff and vice versa. It's not. The NCAA has zero to do with the college football playoff. And that is why, and we talked about this in hour number one, Amber, the SEC and the Big Ten are driving this train. I mean, they are it. And there is little doubt in my mind. And as a matter of fact, Gene Stallings in 1995, then the Alabama head coach, 2 years removed from a national championship, I was a young student reporter at Alabama, and I asked him about the future of college football because South Carolina and Arkansas had just come in 92, the first expansion. That was the first domino of what we're dealing with right now in 2024, happened back in the early 90s with Roy Kramer, then commissioner of the SEC. And Stallings told me then, I asked him about, hey, what do you see 10 years down the road? He goes, well, I don't know about 10, but at some point, we're going to end up with maybe 3, possibly 4 mega conferences. And I'm going, what? In 1995, Biebs saw that. And here it took a while, but here we are. And that's what's going to happen. The SEC and the Big Ten are driving this college football playoff train. And eventually, they're just going to go, you know, like the end of a night in a college bar. Who wants to go to the after party? No, not you. Yeah, you can come. Yep, you. No. What about over here? You? No. Yes, you're in. Come on. They're going to pick and choose who gets to go into the third mega conference, and whether it's going to be called the ACC, which I don't think it will be. I think the leader in the clubhouse right now would be the Big 12, and it's going to be because the SEC and Big 10 allowed them. And that's going to be that third mega conference, whether it's 60 schools, 70 schools, 72 schools, whatever it ends up being, that is going to happen, in my opinion, sooner than later. And why? Because they said so. It's like when you were a kid, Amber, and you wanted to go over to little Johnny's house and play. And your parents said, well, and when you asked, well, can I go to Susie's house? No. Why? Because I said so. Mm-hmm. That's the power of the SEC and the Big Ten right now. That's what they have. Like being a parent of a 5-year-old. And they are going to pick and choose who gets to come along for this multi-billion-dollar ride.
Yeah, they get to choose who sits at the cool kids table. And we know Florida State and Clemson are going to want to be sitting at that table, both of those schools right now, in lawsuits with the ACC. We got the news today that Clemson has sued the ACC. Florida State and the ACC were already in a lawsuit battle where they are all arguing because Florida State, Clemson, trying to get out of that grant of rights deal that has locked them in through 2036. They're basically trying to defect from the ACC. And if they do that under the current rules, that would cost them $140 million. So instead, they're suing the ACC to try to get out of their deal with the ACC. It's a tall hill to climb because the ACC's argument, of course, is, hey, you agreed to this. You voluntarily agreed to enter into this deal, and not just enter into this deal and the media rights deal, but also you agreed to this penalty if you decide to try to leave the ACC. So they're going to be in a battle for a long time. Litigation takes forever. Right now, with the Florida State ACC litigation, they're arguing over venue because the ACC had preemptively sued Florida State, knowing that FSU was going to sue them because the Board of Regents there had approved FSU suing ACC. So the ACC went ahead and sued FSU so that they could sue them in North Carolina, which is where the headquarters of the ACC is located. They must have not seen Clemson coming because Clemson got this lawsuit off before a preemptive strike. They sue the ACC in South Carolina. That means the ACC is now going to go to battle, try to get that case moved to North Carolina. So basically, long story short, it's going to be a long time before we find any sort of decision in those cases that means anything at all to the rest of us on the outside. But it means that both of those two power players in the ACC, the two biggest schools in terms of football in the ACC, want out.
All right, so let me ask you this. How long is this going to take? And two-part question. How long would that take? And the second part is, what if Clemson and Florida State did what UVA and Virginia Tech, you know, and Syracuse, when they left the Big East, they just said, you know what? Hell with it. We're leaving. We don't care if you sue us. We're out of here. So what happens if Clemson and Florida State decided to go with that route?
$140 million is what happens. I mean, that's what they're trying to avoid. That's why they can't do that, because right now they're contractually obligated to pay the $140 million.
Yeah, so
they need
UVA
to make darn sure that a court's going to let them out of that before they go ahead and make that move.
Because
that's what they're trying to do.
Those schools I just mentioned, they were also, and along with Pittsburgh, they were contractually obligated, and they said, hell with it. We're leaving anyway. We don't care.
They took the risk, but it wasn't $140 million.
No, it was not.
Risk.
Not even close
and
to that.
And so that's the problem. Okay. Is they've made this thing so, just so disastrous, right? And that's what the argument is, by the way, from Florida State and from Clemson, that this thing is too punitive. It would be such a disaster for them financially to leave the ACC under the current contract. So they've got to try to get out of it. I mean, their ultimate goal here might be to just try to strike a settlement, put enough pressure on the ACC so the ACC lets them out, but instead of $140 million, pay us $40 million, you know, something like that. And so I could see a situation like that, because otherwise you're talking, I mean, at least 3 years, but really, realistically, I mean, it's probably 5 years of litigation that you'd be dragging out this thing if you were actually trying to go to a trial sort of resolution, which of course rarely ever happens.
Who has the advantage
in civil cases?
Who has the advantage here? Is it Clemson and Florida State, or is it the ACC?
No, the ACC. From a legal perspective right now, the ACC has an advantage. You can't just get out of deals. I mean, contract law, right? You can't just get out of deals because you made a bad one. That's not a reason that we can let you out of a deal that you agreed to in writing with a meeting of the minds. So it can't just be, hey, we shouldn't have entered this deal because now we're left behind by the Big Ten, the SEC in terms of media rights deals, and we signed a bleepy one here with the ACC. They've got to have a better reason for that. And they're going to throw every argument against the wall, and we'll see if any of them stick to try to get out of this thing. But ultimately, they have to prove that the ACC did something wrong in getting them to enter this deal that they voluntarily entered into. You know, they didn't have to agree to this deal. They knew what the grant of rights were coming. They knew the situation. They knew the penalty for getting out of the ACC. They knew these things. And so they've got an uphill battle, I think, from a legal perspective. But again, some of that can be, hey, court of public opinion, this makes the ACC look bad. Will the ACC want this to go away? Can we make the ACC's life a living hell, essentially, and just continue with this for years on end in litigation, and to the point where the ACC goes, let's just settle? You know, there's a lot of moving parts here, things that can happen, even if they don't have an advantageous position legally.
College football playoff deal gets done for billions of dollars. You've got Clemson suing the ACC following Florida State, which we knew this was going to happen with Clemson. But I'm also hearing that there are other ACC schools that might be joining Florida State and Clemson in suing the ACC. Schools like UNC, possibly Virginia Tech, possibly UVA. So when you hear that, as an attorney as you are, counselor, your reaction would be?
Well, my reaction would still be, I mean, it's a lot of headaches for the ACC. Right now, those would be all separate cases. You know, it's not, you're not like a certified class. You're not suing the ACC as a class action lawsuit or something of that nature. So those are separate cases. But certainly right now, Florida State, the leader, you're going to watch closely what happens there in that lawsuit. Now, again, they're just arguing right now over venue because that case is in North Carolina. Right now, the Clemson case is in South Carolina. All of that has to get sorted out before you even go down the road. And those are different courts that have obviously different laws, different states, different rules, different judges, different ways of seeing things. But again, all of it puts pressure on the ACC. All of it creates a ton of headaches for the ACC. And all of it feels like, even again, if I believe these schools don't necessarily have an advantageous perspective from a legal speaking perspective, the reality is all of it leads towards a world in which the super conference exists. And right now, the ACC is very obviously falling behind. Coming up next year on Amber and Ian. How important is it for the NBA to find their new face of the league? We'll get into that next year on ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Reached in on Keyonte George and turned him over. It's another Keyonte George turnover. And goes up for the dunk, and Thunder slams it in traffic over John Collins. And Ant may have hurt his left hand. He comes right to the bench. That was sick. He took off, launching himself to the iron. What a slam by Anthony Edwards.
People are calling that the best dunk they've ever seen. That's how amazing that dunk was. That was courtesy of KFAN. You think that's too prisoner of the moment?
Yeah, it always is. Ever. Look,
the craziest dunk I've ever seen.
Best dunk of the year, ain't no doubt about it.
Well, that's easy.
That is a slam dunk. I mean, look, his head almost hit the rim, right? And then poor Collins. I mean, he not only does he get postered, and I mean, I wanted to call his mom, dad, I mean, his family members. I wanted to give his dog a hug if he has one. I mean, it was brutal. And he gets hurt.
Hurt. I mean, they were worried he was concussed after that dunk. They were worried he was concussed.
I was
and
concussed.
Anthony Edwards dislocates his finger after that dunk because of how hard, how much force he threw that ball down with. It was ridiculous. Unbelievable. I don't know if it was the best dunk of all time, but it was certainly, you could put it on the list, and we just witnessed it in 2024.
We can go back to some Michael Jordan, Dominique Wilkins, Julius Irving.
I don't want to get like crazy. I'm not saying Anthony Edwards is MJ at all, but what he does, the thing that reminds me a little bit of MJ is that Anthony Edwards, not the tallest player on the court, and yet the hops, the way that he flies, like the effort, the physical effort, the fact when you're watching him play basketball, there's something so superhuman feeling about it. And I think some of it is because obviously we look at a Wemby, for example, and like clearly that dude stands there and he's superhuman, right? But what Anthony Edwards does with the unbelievable athleticism, where he looks like a dude that you can actually see. I mean, he's a big guy, obviously, but in basketball standards, like that's a dude that, okay, that exists on basketball courts. And then the way that he leaps through the air, hitting his head on the rim when he's blocking a shot, when he's 6'4", listed at 6'4". Which probably means he's 6'3" in real life. I mean, it's unbelievable.
And people are saying, is he the new face of the NBA or the future of the NBA? Let's just stop. That has to happen organically. And right now, organically, he is trending as one of the new superstars, young superstars that every league needs. You know, like when Tom Brady is gone, you know, and Peyton Manning's gone, and you know, next thing you know, oh, here's Patrick Mahomes. Enter stage right when they left stage left. Right? I mean, here's Josh Allen. But here's Joe Burrow.
There was with the NFL, there was that changing of the guard while Tom was still there. And yes, Tom was still winning Super Bowls and playing, but we got to witness it. So we had an idea of where it was going. I think the problem right now with the NBA is I don't feel like that change in the guard has really happened. And LeBron's 39.
And Steph's 35. I think it's right now starting to begin to change. And you're seeing, you know, whether it's Halliburton. I mean, did you see that damn no-look assist he had last night? I mean, that was naughty, right? So you have a lot of young, new talent coming in, and I think people are starting, especially when you have highlights like that, because he's not just a highlight reel. Anthony Edwards is a complete basketball player. He should be first-team all-defense. Yeah. I mean, that dude can lock up anybody on the perimeter or in the post. I mean, he is a beast. So he's not just this flash guy. He is a complete basketball player. But the NBA made a massive mistake a long time ago when Michael Jordan retired, and they tried to bring in create the new face of the NBA, and his name was Harold Miner. Meet baby Jordan. Dude sucked. And I mean, he was great at USC, but he was not some superstar. But the NBA, desperate to not lose anything, tried to fabricate this new star.
And they did lose, by the way. They lost.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, they lost in terms of ratings and popularity.
Whatever you do, you cannot try and fabricate it. Just let it happen organically. Steph Curry happened. LeBron was already there coming out of high school. Let's put him over in a whole other category, right? You know, but Klay Thompson happened, you know, coming out of Washington State, right?
So in that conversation, but yeah. I understand what you're saying.
That tandem, that's the best shooting backcourt in the history of the NBA.
Right.
That is not an overstatement.
When we're talking about actual faces, though, of the league, and I'll put stuff on there. I'll put LeBron on there. I'll put KD on there. Like, everybody I would go down the list and name is pretty old. Some of this is an age thing as well, though, because, you know, Giannis is good enough and has the personality and has the chip and all that, where he would be that. But I think he's too old. Like, he's too close in age to those other guys, right? Whereas you need the next generation. You need it to be much younger. Like, you need the guys when LeBron is on his way out. You need the guys on their way in.
I think that's what you're seeing with Anthony Edwards.
So we've had the other, obviously there's been other great players during the LeBron era and guys who enter the conversation as part of the faces of the league. But I'm talking about a true shift in guard, not just who's in the conversation, but who's going to take over at the helm. And right now, I don't know who that is. I mean, Jokic is the best player in the league, but you and I talk about it. I don't know if he's the best ambassador for the game overall.
He wants to talk more about his horses.
He wants to talk about horse racing. He's a great ambassador for horse racing.
You get into horse racing, that's why I love the guy, right? Growing up on a thoroughbred horse farm, and I love the ponies. I mean, Gulfstream Park, let's go, man. Start cranking up on Thursday. I mean, I'll be betting ponies at the fairgrounds. Hey, Louisiana Derby. Louisiana Derby coming up on Saturday. Can't wait. Grade 2 stakes. Big Kentucky Derby qualifier. But anywho, that's why I love the Joker. He would rather talk about his horses than NBA. You ask him about a game that he just had 52, 20, and 12, and he's like, oh, it was a good game. You ask him about his horse he's got over in Serbia or some horse he's betting at Saratoga, and he's like, hey, let me tell you something. And he'll lean into it. So he may be the best – not may. He is the best player, but he is – he's not that extravagant salesman, you know, with his game or, you know, in his interviews. And you don't see – he's like Dirk. You never saw Dirk do a commercial.
Right.
Never.
Dirk
was the most – I covered him for years. Dirk was the most self-deprecating superstar I've ever been around, but he never did a single commercial, local or national. Why? Didn't care. Now, he would market the hell locally out of the Mavericks. How many national commercials did you ever see Dirk on?
Right.
Never. But Anthony Edwards – he might be one of your guys. Luka loves a limelight. Luka is all about the spotlight and everything else. I mean, he'll ham it up for you and he'll whine. So I think if it happens organically, and I think it's starting to with Anthony Edwards, with a Luka Doncic, that's the way that next wave has to come in. It can't be forced.
I was going to bring up Luka, but there's another piece to this puzzle, I think, in taking over that helm in terms of a true face of the league. And neither, obviously, Luka or Anthony Edwards has crossed this bridge yet. You've got to also, I think, win a championship, right? I mean, I don't know if you can just be face of the league without doing the winning behind the face of the league. Like, you have to be so dominant. Some people would try to put Jason Tatum in that conversation if he wins a championship. For me, Jason Tatum, it's just not as great as he is. And right now, yes, obviously, best player on the best
team.
They're
just kicking everybody's ass. Yeah, they're sick.
And that's fine, and it's a great team. And obviously, he is the best player on that team, although Jaylen's playing phenomenal this season. But for me, he's not dominant enough. Like, he's not, I don't know. There's some, maybe it's because he somewhat disappears in some of the biggest moments. I don't know what it is. Or maybe I'm being a hater because I'm a Miami Heat fan. I don't know, Ian, but I don't find Jason Tatum.
Well, bring it up, but since you did.
To be part of this conversation, I just don't. Whereas, you know, yes, Minnesota would have to win a chip here, I think, over the next few years, not this season, but over the next few years. Or Luka, certainly. I mean, the Mavs, like, are due. If Luka's going to take over the helm, then he's got to actually start winning rings as part of that conversation.
Yeah, I mean, he got to the Western Conference Finals just a couple of years ago. But, you know, I don't know if you have to win that chip. Charles Barkley was the face of this league. Got to a finals.
Good point.
Never won it. He had personality. He has
that personality. He does. Which, I mean, like the Giannis's and the Joel Embiid's of the world have that personality. But, again, I think they've been in the league for too long during the LeBron era. I think it's got to be the guys that are almost young enough to be LeBron's son, which is this next wave, you know, 20, 21, 22-year-olds. That's the reality of the situation. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, we're going to find out what is a big deal and what is not a big deal here on ESPN Radio, also on the ESPN app.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Along here on Amber and Ian. Amber and Ian is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. I want to remind you guys, you can pick brackets directly against us, directly against me and Ian. So all you have to do is you have to sign up for the ESPN Tournament Bracket Challenge. You just download the Bracket Challenge app. That's the easiest way to do it. Download it. It's free. Go ahead and fill out your brackets. There's an ESPN Radio Bracket Challenge that we're involved in, and we're going to have an Amber and Ian Bracket Challenge. We're going to have an Amber and Ian group. So if you make a bracket, you'll be able to put your bracket into our group. You can compete against us and compete against other listeners to our show. But again, ESPN Tournament Bracket Challenge app. Download it. You can also find the link on ESPN.com. That'll take you right to it as well. Find him at Ian Fitz ESPN. You can find me as well at Amber W. Sports. Let's find out what's a big deal and what's not a big deal. And James Steele, our producer, and Rachel Robinson, our associate producer. Hello, James.
Was there something you wanted to get to real quick, Ian, before?
Can I vent for one moment?
Please.
This is kind of a big deal, actually. Watching Virginia basketball is painful. And as much as I love Tony Bennett and the quality of their program, and they've got a chip in their belt just a couple years old, I mean, they're a hell of a basketball program.
Are they? Because you just said they're painful to watch. I feel like you did the all due respect.
I did. This version, again, I mean, they're offensively, they're like 150th in the country out of 300-some-odd schools. Defensively, they're one of the best in college basketball every year. Right now, in
defense
the first
wins
four
championships,
in,
Ian.
We are averaging barely a point of minute over 5 minutes into this game. Yes. It's 4-2 4-2. Virginia leads Colorado State. 4-2. Sometimes watching Virginia, I would rather you put cigarettes out of my eyeballs than have to watch this.
Lovely.
It is aesthetically, it just ain't entertaining. And that's kind of a big deal. All right, cigarettes out of my eyeballs. There you go.
Well, it's a big deal that March Madness is underway. So we got Wagner advancing. That's our first advancement.
71-68. There you go.
Yeah, 71-68 over Howard. That happened earlier this evening. Now, right now, 4-2. Riveting
four
game. Virginia over Colorado State. We'll see who wins and who goes home.
Final score, 18-12.
James?
All right, so this past weekend, the Chargers released wide receiver Mike Williams. Had to cut a lot of cap. They were in a pretty dire situation, money-wise, with the cap anyway. But today, the New York Jets signed Mike Williams to a one-year deal, giving Aaron Rodgers another weapon. Ian, big deal, not a big deal, Mike Williams to the Jets.
Yeah, it's a big deal, especially when he's healthy. Now, that's the big problem with Mike Williams. The last couple of years, he's been banged up. But, man, when he's healthy, if I tell you what, if you can get 12 out of 17 games out of him, it's not just a big deal. It's a massive deal because when he's 60%, because that dude plays not just hurt, but banged the bleep up, he's still a weapon. So, yeah, it's a big deal.
I mean, he missed 18 games after signing an extension with the Chargers in 2022. He arose once again to form of a torn ACL in 2023, that he was limited to 3 games. I mean, the story of his career here over the last few seasons has been injury after injury after injury. So, yeah, he's obviously a good player if he's healthy. Fine. But I'm going to put it in the not a big deal category because it's kind of another player on this Jets team that I'm looking at. And I'm like,
Are they becoming the Jared Tall group, Tyron Smith, right?
I mean,
Mike Williams. By the way, New York Jets, Robert Saleh, do yourself a favor and handle Tyron Smith the way the Dallas Cowboys did. All they did was have him go through walkthroughs to save his legs and his back. He never padded up in practice, ever. Walkthroughs only. The Jared Tall group.
They're going to need help all over the place with that. Like, maybe just wrap everybody in bubble wrap. Also, you've got a 40-year-old quarterback at the helm. You're going to need to wrap, coming off of a major injury, coming off of an Achilles, you're going to need to wrap him in bubble wrap as well.
Hey, 5-4 now.
Ooh, we've got some scoring.
Yeah, what, about 7 minutes in on that one?
That's great. Close. Yeah, you're close, yeah. Man. We got 13 and change.
Yeah. So, Travis Kelce. You may know him as the greatest tight end of all time. 3-time Super Bowl champion. Part of the reigning, defending, back-to-back Super Bowl champion Chiefs. I don't know if you heard of him. He's reportedly in discussions to host a celebrity-focused reboot of the long-running game show Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? That would stream on Amazon Prime Video, according to two people familiar with the matter. Right. The deal, if signed, would represent the football great's latest move toward a general entertainment after appearances on SNL. The reality series Catching Kelce and a podcast he hosts, obviously New Heights Podcast, with his brother Jason. Big deal, not a big deal. Travis Kelce in talks to become a game show host, Amber.
This is a big deal because I think it just further shows Travis Kelce capitalizing on his rising star as he should. And it's a very, very smart move. I didn't think it was crazy to think that he might retire when his brother was retiring because not that Travis Kelce doesn't have anything left in the tank, but because he's so darn famous and becoming so darn successful other places that he's got so many options off the field. It'll be fun to obviously continue to watch him play football, but that's going to be short lived. There's not that many years left in Travis Kelce. You already saw the decline during the regular season this season. So you move on, and in doing that, you set yourself up for when one day football is not a part of your life with all of these other things and all of these other things that are padding his bank account and rising his star. And I'm glad James just mentioned Catching Kelce because that was pre-Taylor Swift. A lot of people think that all of this has just come from Taylor Swift.
Nah,
but the reality
is
those brothers podcast was already popular before Taylor Swift. Travis Kelce had already done some of this off the field famous stuff before Taylor Swift. Obviously now it's just exponentially even greater in terms of star power since she's entered his life. So yeah, why not capitalize on it?
I think it's a big deal because I used to love that show because I damn sure I'm not as smart as a fifth grader.
It was Jeff Foxworthy, right? Yeah. Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Years?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't. I don't know.
Got a little country.
Yeah, like, he'll be great. It was his a little country, and it was a professional comedian.
And
so
I'm
that's
country.
My concern.
Yeah, but Kelsey is hilarious and has that not just – he has a dry wit and then just a right-in-your-face kind of humor. So I think he would be outstanding. I think it's a big deal. And, oh, by the way, those commercials, he's not a bad actor. So what – I mean, post-career for Travis Kelsey is looking pretty bright as far as his bank account, and he don't need the money.
My thing is, though, does he play dumb enough? I feel like Jeff Foxworthy played dumb all the time.
Like, you need Gronk to do this show.
Yeah, that would be perfect.
Yeah, Gronk would be a good casting because he
right
plays
here.
The dumb
right
one.
Here. I got it.
You want it?
Sign
Ian
me
Fitzsimmons
up.
Wants this show.
Sign me up.
My brain isn't
right,
any good either.
Right
so.
My wheelhouse.
All right, Conor McGregor might be making a return to the Octagon relatively soon after his feature film debut. His first acting role will be in the movie Roadhouse, which will premiere March 21st on Amazon Prime. Take a listen to him in his sit-down with Mark Ramondi.
We got confirmation a few days ago that it's all systems go, and the Notorious will be returning in the UFC Octagon this summer.
This summer. Michael Chandler?
Yes, Michael Chandler, yeah. Mm-hmm.
185.
Oh, he's so whoopy. Yeah. Now, look, see this? It's Chandler. I got the... And shut up, Michael, you fucking imbecile. The blade doesn't shut up. But see him on Raw and all. I like Mike. I'm going to bust him up. I'm going to bust Mike up, yeah? So if I say it, I do it. If I say it, it gets done. End of. And put that in my stone. And so Chandler in the summer.
Ian... Big deal, not a big deal. I guess we're getting Conor McGregor and Michael Chandler this summer.
Oh, look, man. 5 years ago, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, massive deal. Now, I mean, it's not like Conor needs some money. I'm going to go not a big deal because he's going to get his butt kicked. I mean, when's the last time that guy won a match? And he doesn't need the money. What did he sell his Irish whiskey for? Like $500 million? So, I don't know. I mean, maybe he just loves the... To get the adrenaline rush and to get back in the octagon, I don't know. But to me, I don't have a ton of interest in it. And I like Ultimate Fighting.
Conor McGregor's always been a better talker than he's been a fighter.
Not always.
A lot of his star power. Always. Always.
Oh, I don't know about that now. Even when he was a good fighter,
he was a better talker. I mean, a lot of his star power comes from his mouth.
15 years ago, that dude was indestructible.
He was not indestructible. Wasn't that long of a now given it's not long for anybody in that sport, but it was not long for Conor McGregor in that sport. But he's been riding off of it ever since in a way that very few people get to, and it's because of the star power, it's because of the talk, and it's because of the mouth, it's because of everything else that goes along with Conor McGregor. And Chandler's been calling out McGregor over and over again. He's been publicly calling, because he wants the star power to come to that fight. That's all it is. So these fighters that are better than McGregor still want McGregor because they know the eyeballs that he brings to that fight. Overall, though, not a big deal. McGregor's going to get his ass kicked. It won't matter. Nobody cares. Conor McGregor ends up being a star either way, even if he's kind of a bleepy person, it appears, outside the octagon.
Yeah, probably not the best guy.
Not at all. Doesn't matter in that sport, though.
It rates, though. John Rahm's Masters Champions dinner
awesome.
Menu. Was released today. It includes a spicy Basque chorizo potato, Mama Rahm's classic lentil stew, a choice of a ribeye.
Why don't
or
you
turbot.
Read it in his native language?
I can't.
Which is his native language and English.
Yeah,
it's awesome
I'm
on
the
menu.
I'm a dumb yinzer. I can barely say English words.
Hold on, Amber. Try that again. Go ahead, Amber.
Tortilla de patatas. Spanish omelet onions. Confit potatoes.
What else you got? Give me another one.
Croqueta de bajolo. Croqueta de pollo. Creamy chicken fritters. Confit potatoes.
I need you to try to say the asparagus.
Oh, Lord.
I think that one's my favorite.
One. I don't even see the asparagus one. But, yeah, this menu. What do you think of this menu, Ian? Is this a big deal?
Man, I would crush the menu. It gave me a headache trying to read it, right? But then when you read the English version, it's phenomenal. I mean, get in a three-point stance and attack, and let's get filthy fat. I love it.
What is it? Oh, Rotabeo al Pilpi? Peel? I don't know.
That sounds right to me, going yeah. So.
I love the effort. Love the effort,
kid. White asparagus, apparently. That's what Rachel wanted me to read. Yeah, this isn't a big deal. I mean, it's not a big deal. I don't know what to tell you. What would the Ian Fitzsimmons Masters Club dinner look like? If you were
designing, that's what I want to know.
A dinner.
Come on now. I mean, I might just throw out a big-ass picnic table because it's crawfish season, right? And we might just Louisiana's get filthy, nasty. Like, boys, don't wear white because we're going to get after it. I mean, it's gumbo, it's crawfish, it's some boudin. I have my buddy Moose Bullock go ahead and make his homemade smoked brisket, chicken, and pork boudin. I mean, my God. Boudin.
What?
Boudin. Boudin.
What is that?
It's basically a sausage.
Huh. Okay.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Yeah, so you want it? That's my meal right there. Crawfish,
so
gumbo,
Louisiana, Cajun.
Boudin. If you want to have some health to it, we'll throw you a salad in the corner.
Coming up next here on Amber and Ian. It's been an interesting couple days in the Amber Wilson household. Plus, it is March Madness. Plenty more here on ESPN Radio.
It involves poop.
Oh, God. Every time I hear this song now, all I think is my favorite pair of sunglasses that I lost being a Broadway girl, Ian, on Broadway one night in Nashville, Tennessee.
That'll do it.
A lot of alcohol was consumed.
That'll do it.
And it was this stupid expensive pair of Tiffany sunglasses that I had bought in Mexico, and I'd spent this money on them, and I convinced myself it was okay because, you know, it was tax-free or whatever, like duty-free or whatever. I'd bought them in the airport.
And you're about five tequila shots deep.
So many tequila shots. So many tequila shots. We spent...
You're finding a way in your brain to reason it's worth spending the money, right? Yes.
We spent 7 hours, I think, just at Aldean's. I don't know how familiar you are with Nashville, Tennessee.
My brother coached at Vanderbilt.
Well, there you go. Yeah. But Jason Aldean's bar, Aldean's. I think we spent like 7 straight hours that day at Aldean. The bands changed. We were still there.
That's when you knew it. Hey, when the bands change... And the set switch, that's when you know it's you get the hell out of Dodge.
You get out. You get
tomorrow's going to hurt.
We didn't get out.
Like, get out.
We did not get out. We stayed, and the sunglasses bit the dust because of it. The next morning, I wake up, and I'm, like, going through photos, trying to find, like, at what point in this day did I lose these sunglasses? But there
awesome.
You go. That's what I think of every time I hear Morgan Wallen's
Broadway
Girls.
Never wear anything important. To a bar crawl. I don't know.
I know.
I feel like you're not new at this, Amber. Like, that was a rookie mistake.
Yeah,
it was a stupid
for sure.
They were the only sunglasses I brought to Nashville with me on that trip.
That's
it's not
even
like
worse
I travel
mistake.
With a press. But that was dumb. It was a silly move by me. It was the first time I'd ever been to Nashville. So I don't think I fully respected
you're still a
what
veteran.
Was going to happen.
I mean, so. You know, veterans get traded to other teams, right? You know what to do and what not to do. I mean,
I've learned since. My next trips to Nashville had involved much cheaper sunglasses and then came out a bit more unscathed. Amber and Ian presented by Progressive. At Ian Fitz, ESPN is how you find him. At Amber W Sports is how you find me. Go right now. Sign up for the ESPN Tournament Bracket Challenge. If you haven't done so already, the link's right there on ESPN.com. Also, you download the ESPN Tournament Bracket app, and it's super simple that way. And
we're
also
averaging
a lot of fun.
2.5 points a minute here now. We're getting a little offense here with Colorado State, Virginia, in the second, first four in games. Colorado State leads 18-14, 7 minutes to go in the first half, 18-14.
High scoring game there.
Go Wahoos.
We did a bunch of college basketball on tonight's show because we had a college basketball roundtable special tonight. If you missed anything here on Amber and Ian, check out the podcast on the ESPN app. We had a ton of great guests join us. But it's been an interesting show for me tonight and last night, Ian, because I've had some personal stuff going on. And hopefully the listener hasn't known. There's been a lot of poop. That's really a lot of number two. That's really the only way to say it. Because my four-year-old, who has been homesick the last 2 days, he's having some issues.
And I've been single momming the last 2 days as well. My husband was out of town. He just got back, thankfully. But he was out of town for a trial. And so I was taking care of some situations all by myself while doing this radio show. And there was some balancing going on.
All right. Two things there. One, the caesura between you had a lot of things going on and you had, it was a
poop.
Lot of
poop is what I had going on.
It sounded, because of that pause at the end, it sounded like it was a personal problem.
I do not have to if be you're, clear. If you're I do not poop. I don't know if you know that. Girls don't do that. No, that was not me. Like,
you got to tighten that up a little bit. From the transition of feces to 4 year old was a little too much of a pause there.
It was a little slow.
I want to speed. It's kind of like Virginia basketball. Well, can we speed it up a little bit? Right.
I mean, okay. You're right. I should have maybe read.
I got.
This segment.
Anybody listening right now is like, did she just admit that on national radio?
Definitely not. And I'm like the last person ever, by the way, to go down that route. Toilet humor, not my thing.
Oh my gosh! But the way that you have juggled,
yeah.
Little Cullen, mm-hmm. having the issues and folks, every break. Mama Wilson, guys, there's two. There's Amber and there's Mama. And Mama, every break, running in to check on little Cullen. One, for us, has been thoroughly entertaining behind the scenes. But you have been an unbelievable pro, because I would have been just throwing a 4-year-old. Here's an old pull-up. What? Hang in there, kid. Dad will be in about an hour.
I did break out the pull-ups, which he does not wear during the day. Oh, yeah. It's the only way I could get through the show last night and tonight. I talked him into putting on pull-ups. Are you kidding me? I mean, there was no way. I'm like, I can't come out and check on you until next commercial break, buddy. So we've got to put pull-ups on, because we can't keep having this
situation. Those are for babies, guaranteed,
yeah,
right?
No, but thankfully he understood. Put them on. So we've had significant pull-up changes during the show. I put him in the bath at one point. That didn't go well, because then we just had a in-the-bath situation. So then
gotta
I'm
break
just
out
cleaning,
the bleach. Oh, yeah,
cleaning
yeah.
that. So I'm cleaning that out of the tub like 20 seconds before I'm sitting down to meet with you guys for a pre-show. Like, this is going really well. So that's my life. That's the story of, you know, doing a radio show from home sometimes.
Behind the scenes, it has been masterful. I mean, and at that age, at 4, I mean, if you're wondering, you don't have kids, they ain't making it to the crapper when you got the runs. I mean, he might feel it coming, but he doesn't know when it's going to hit, right? I mean, he's trying, but yeah.
He tells me, he's like, Mommy, I can't stop it. It's too powerful.
It's too powerful. It really is, buddy. That doesn't change.
I get it. I mean, I don't get it. I've never been there, but I get it.
I can empathize. I had food poisoning last week. I mean, look, man, we almost had to go reverse cowboy. So, yeah, I get it.
Oh, goodness. It's something. It's a situation. But you know what? We've taken care of the situation.
You were a pro.
We've gotten through the situation.